BuzzFeed, Beano, PopSugar, Brainfall. These are just a few of the websites promoting quizzes and listicles that will tell you what type of witch you're destined to be. The belief around these categories or types, can you hear my air quotes, of witches is so pervasive, it's one of the most common beginner questions we see. Liz believes there's value in these labels, while Aridia feels they're too arbitrary to do anyone any real good. But what do you think? Listen on to hear our thoughts, and don't forget to continue the conversation on social media, in the Discord, or shoot us an email. We really, really do want to know your opinions on this one.
Welcome to 2 by Torchlight, where we dive deep and get real about magic and witchcraft, its relationship to science and pop culture, and what it's really like to build a modern practice that's accessible, effective, and unique to you. I'm Aridia, your veteran witch.
And I'm Liz, a newer practitioner. Hang out with us round the torchlight as we talk all things woo and witchcraft. Hi, Aridia.
Hi, Liz.
How are you?
I'm good.
That's
how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm still sunburnt from vending with you.
Oh, from Pride on Saturday?
Yeah. I'm at the Fleeky, which is fun.
It was a very strange day of, like, very windy and then very sunny.
It was deceptive because it wasn't hot at all. And then, like, I looked down at myself and then I looked up at my roommate that was with us and he just went, oh no. But it was a fun day. And then, thankfully, we came back and I just wanted to mention our Discord, because we got to have some great conversations in the Discord, and this week's topic is actually a request from one of our Discord members.
Absolutely. See, you guys talk, we listen, we hear you.
So we are super excited today to talk about the different kinds. I don't know if you can hear the air quotes that my fingers are making, but the different kinds of witches. So I did, as a beginner especially, this is something that you hear a lot about. You know, there's always kind of that feeling of wanting to belong and wanting to know where you stand and things of that nature. So I did a little research on the kinds of witches and the stuff that you could find, and I would love to share with you what I found, Aridia.
Okay, yeah, I have lots of thoughts on this topic, and like I said in the Discord, I'm going to save them for the episode, but I'm going to let you go first. Tell me all about your research, different types of witches that you found, what you found about them, and then we can chat.
And this is going to be interesting, I think, because I think this is going to be the first episode where you and I really kind of think a little differently on a topic than normal. But yeah, so this is a little more than just like religious differences. So we're not talking about like what's the difference between like pagan versus, you know, Christian witch versus Jewish witch versus, you know, Southern practices and Afrikaans and things like that. This is more when you see people talking about being a green witch or a kitchen witch or a candle witch.
You know, those quizzes that you find online that are like, what type of witch are you? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I did a little digging. And it's funny because especially online, and I didn't want to do anything super deep because I wanted to really get an idea for like the baseline, like what first shows up when you look up this kind of stuff. And funny enough, it's a lot of like those quiz websites or like mommy blogs or like things like that. You know what I mean?
Or like those fashion websites,
yeah,
like PopSugar and stuff like that. The stuff that's going to pop up highest on a Google search result.
Because they pay
me.
Yeah.
It is going to come up first when you're first starting to think about, oh, well, maybe I might give witchcraft a try. What is out there, this is the stuff that comes up first before you really get into the meat and potatoes of what witchcraft is.
Exactly. So I want to share with you what I found. So a lot of these different articles kind of mentioned the same couple of types of witches. Some of them were kind of harder to get a feel for than others, but this is what I found. So green witches were mentioned a lot. And they're witches that enjoy working with plants and, like, living things. They tend to cross over with kitchen witchery a lot. You know, witches that kind of grow their own herbs and are very into that, like, herbalist leaning, things like that. They like to grow their own and then use them. It brings you into the next thing, kitchen witches. Their spell casting usually is incorporated into meals or boil pots. Their witchery kind of tends to lie in like spice choices or meal choices, and just in general, like utilizing how much magic that you can find in your spice rack. Another one that I saw more often that tended to kind of be harder to find information on was hedge witches. A lot of the stuff that was said about hedge witches was like they tend to keep their practices very simple, not a whole lot of like pomp and circumstance. Like their spell casting tends to be very straightforward. They're usually very solitary. There isn't a whole lot of like ritualism to it, which I have seen a lot of other things about hedge witches as well, because hedge witch is an older term, I believe. Death witches got mentioned a lot, but then not a whole lot of substance was ever said about them. So the only type of inference that I could make is like, oh, they're called death witches. They must work with death and spirits and things of that nature. But I really couldn't find much about them other than the fact that they got mentioned sometimes. Candle witch, which cracks me up a little bit because now we're attributing tools to witches. But it's kind of written on the tin. They like casting with candles more often than not. Color magic also comes into play a lot with candle witches, because a lot of the selections for like what type of spell you're going to do kind of tends to lean into what color candle you're going to choose for that spell. They usually incorporate things like crystals and dried herbs as well as like oils. There's the newest addition, I believe, which is the tech witch, which I have been jokingly called a couple times, utilizes modern technology in their craft. Bet your ass I'm bringing up my digital book of shadows again. Google Drive is your best friend. Excel spreadsheets of herbs and correspondences, which I know that you shared with me yours. So you would be considered a tech witch or radio.
My entire practice is all about merging modern day stuff with my witchcraft. And yes, I love my ever-growing Excel spreadsheet of herbs and their correspondences.
I do too. I was just in it the other day. But yeah, then there is the crystal witches. Again, same kind of thing. They utilize the properties of crystals and other minerals in their magic a lot. Common tools are crystal grids and stones, and then lots of like energy amplification using those crystals. Cosmic witch, who works with stellar energies, astrology and astronomy focuses, lots of timing spells with the appropriate lunar cycle. Folk witches, very connected to their ancestry. They tend to practice whatever can be referred to as the old ways within their ancestry, or whatever path they choose to follow. And then there is the neutral witch, who is also called a gray witch a lot of the times. But
which it gives me such gray Jedi vibes, and I kind of dig it.
So my thing is I know we've kind of mentioned this a little bit in the past, but the idea of like white and black energy or witchcraft, it has a lot of racist undertones and connotations.
Yes.
So I feel like gray witch kind of brings that around as well. So I have also seen it referred to as a neutral witch. And you're right, it is. The very little I know about the Star Wars universe is about the gray Jedis, because I have a friend who talks about them a lot. But
is it me?
No, actually, it is. He actually still listens to this podcast, though. It's my friend Tripod.
Hi, Tripod. You and I apparently are friends, because I also am a big fan of the Path of the Gray Jedi.
The one time we were talking about making him a D&D character, he was like, I just want to be a gray Jedi. Like, I don't care. I just want to be a gray Jedi.
It's funny. I do that with Mandalorians.
Yeah.
Oh, what are we playing? Can I be a Mandalorian?
So the neutral witch, they value balance in their casting. They don't shy away from baneful or, you know, healing magic. They basically, the way that I was always seeing it described, is that they value balance above all else. They tend to work magic on things that they feel are unjust or imbalanced. So a lot of that like magical activism that we were talking about in previous episodes. But yeah, they're all about balance in the world and balance in their practice and their craft. So yeah, lots of different types of witches that I found in my research, those were really the main ones that came up. A couple of them had like different names for the same thing. I kind of tried to condense it for time and understanding, because a lot of these, like hedge witches and folk witches, sometimes were interchangeable depending on like where you were looking. And a lot of these, like I said, were more of like the quiz type stuff, like what type of witch are you? But I would like to talk about what these can actually mean and how I think they can help you in your practice and how sometimes they don't mean shit. So one thing that I think I would like to bring up at the very least is like most of these come down to aesthetic choices, your preferences on how to go about casting a spell. You can fall under a bunch of these. Like, I know a couple that I can fall under. Like, I know I tend to prefer casting with candles. I definitely could be accused of being a tech witch. I love my shiny rocks. But if you asked me if I was a green witch, I would say absolutely not, because I kill everything I try and keep alive. I try so hard. And like, kitchen witch, absolutely not. I set kitchens on fire.
She did very suspiciously ask us one day out of the blue if you could light an eggshell on fire,
and then I proceeded to start the, what is it when you're doing the scientific method, you create a theory, you test
we all got very concerned is basically the moral of that story.
Yeah, I do think that in some ways these can be helpful, though, as long as you are using them for the right thing and are in the right mindset when it comes to it. But I can definitely understand where there is some worry, and I know you're going to bring it up. There's some worry about either feeling trapped in these categories or having it affect the decisions you make when it comes to your spellcasting or research or things of that nature. So I'll stop talking. Aradia, please let me know what you think.
Okay. So, I have so many thoughts. Okay. I'm just going to, you know, get this out of the way right now. The idea of different quote-unquote types of witches, I hate it. I at the end of the day, I hate all of these classifications and categories and labels for the type of witch you are. Like, look at any other religion. If you are a Catholic practitioner that uses prayer candles instead of or more often than the rosary, you don't have a different type of Catholic label that you use. You're just a Catholic. You know, and I think the problem that I really have with this whole idea of there being different types of witches is that it creates this unnecessary barrier to entry. Because one of the questions that I get most often from people who are brand fucking new to witchcraft and to paganism and to spirituality is, how do I know what kind of witch I am? And my answer is always the same, and it's, what kind of witch do you want to be? Because the problem with these categorizations is that they come with the belief that you are naturally inclined towards a certain practice over another. Or, gods forbid, you have to be born into a line of witches to be able to practice witchcraft. All of this stuff is all interwoven into each other. And it's all like bubblegum witchcraft, you know, like that really superficial surface stuff. Because it's on websites like The Goop and Pop Sugar and like Cosmopolitan.com, where you find these quizzes like, what type of witch are you, or and BuzzFeed and stuff like that, where you're not actually getting like valuable content and information. You're getting pop culture witchcraft. And the problem, the biggest problem that I have is, like I said, it creates an unnecessary barrier to entry. But also, you kind of touched on another one of my issues with the idea of types of witches, is that so many of these overlap. So many witches that I know would say, well, I'm like six of these. Yes, you are, because these aren't categories of witchcraft or categories of practitioner. Most of these are, like you said, tools or particular habits or ways of practicing. So you brought up a good point too when you said, you know, a lot of what this type of witch thing boils down to is your choices when you go about casting a spell. But I never cast a spell the same way every time. when I'm casting spells, I'm crafting them to the situation. So one week I might be doing stuff with live plants. The next week I'm using crystals. The week after that, I'm calling in spirit guides. The week after that, I'm making a sigil, and every single one of those spells is including candles. To break it down into these boxes, I think is really counterintuitive to the idea of building a practice that is right for you. Because it makes a lot of people who don't know any better think that they need to be working within these boxes, or they need to hit a certain threshold of experience or knowledge before they can use that label, which is completely bullshit. Because if you're a witch because you say you're a witch, point blank, that's it. And I just get really frustrated. And I don't know if it's because I've been doing this for a really long time, or because I see all of this misinformation online, and then people come to me and they ask me questions and they want to know how to get started. But, you know, I can't find any books on this type of witchcraft I want to practice. Or I can't be a green witch because I can't keep plants alive. Yes, you can be a quote unquote green witch, or call yourself a green witch even if you can't keep plants alive, because somebody else can grow the plants and you can just work with the dried herbs afterwards and still use the term green witch if you want to. I feel like it's completely unnecessary and is just creating more difficulty and more confusion that just gets in the way of just sitting down and doing the work.
Yeah, and I definitely see where you're coming from. And I think a lot of the concerns that you're bringing up is what I meant about knowing how to use them in the right way. Because a lot of the ways that people are trying to use this that you're mentioning are things that I would consider not necessarily using them in the right way. I feel like my feelings on this are kind of twofold. Like, one, I absolutely understand that, especially again for new people, there's always that want to feel like you belong somewhere. There's always that want to kind of know where you fit within something as broad as witchcraft. But then there's another part of me that, like, it's almost like, you know how they say that using something like Google is only going to be as beneficial as how well you know how to use Google.
Right.
And I feel like I use a lot of these categories as like keyword searches. So, like, let me pose it to you this way. If instead of using the word witch behind all of these classifications, we replaced the word witch with magic. So I tell you that there's green magic, hedge magic, kitchen magic, death magic, candle magic. I feel like a lot of the connotations of it being a group of people that you're like lumping yourself into goes away, and it becomes more of like a keyword that you can use to find specific types of magic. And I can definitely see some people feel more affiliated to certain types of magic, so they add the word witch at the end instead of magic. But like, if I'm looking for a recipe for a spell that I want to put into food, I'm going to look up like kitchen witch magic. I'm going to look up candle magic. I'm going to look up plant magic or green magic. You know what I mean? So I feel like understanding at the very least where these terms come from and what kind of defines these terms can help you in your research if you're deciding to do research on a certain aspect, or if there's a certain aspect of magic that you really want to narrow down into. I'm somebody who deals a lot with decision paralysis. And if I have too many options in front of me, or I feel like I just can't, there's too many things, narrowing it down to things like this really helps me. So if there's a certain path of magic that I really want to explore down, these labels can help narrow it down to a specific type of focus that I can kind of zone in on. And not that I'm gonna stay that way forever. And like I said, and like you said, there are a couple different ones of these that I identify with and not just one. And a lot of them do cross over. But I feel like that's okay, because as long as you recognize that and use it in that more of like a, they're not rules so much as guidelines.
I have 2 points.
Yes.
Or 2 counterpoints, I should say. One, I don't agree with where you posited, you know, replace witch with magic, and then it's just different types of magic, because there aren't different types of magic. Magic is energy, and their energy is just energy. you know, and we talked in our energy work episode, there aren't different kinds of energy. It's just how you apply it to a situation. So it still gives a new practitioner the idea that there are these separate and distinct categories. When there's not, it's really just how you're applying the things, but it's all the same magic. It's all the same witchcraft. It's all the same practice. And then I also am somebody who deals with decision paralysis, especially because I work three jobs. I'm a small business owner. I'm a mom. I'm constantly making decisions all day long, and I get very easily burnt out where I'm like, I need you to figure out what we're having for dinner, because if I have to make one more choice, my head's going to explode. So I absolutely understand the idea of decision paralysis. To me, breaking up all of these things into different categories of witches makes that worse, not better. Because I'm like, okay, well, now I can't just decide whether or not I want to be a witch. I have to decide what kind of witch I am. Instead of just saying, okay, I want to start practicing witchcraft, I'm going to grab some crystals and candles and just follow where my interests lie. Because the idea is that these different categories give you, you mentioned earlier, it sort of, it almost gives you like a bit of community. But if you're looking for community within witchcraft, there are different traditions that you can join if it's something that interests you. Like, all of this is typically only found in eclectic witchcraft, which is pulling different aspects from different practices and traditions that are open that you can pull from to build your own unique practice. So then if you are an eclectic witch that's building your own unique practice, why would you turn around and confine your practice into being a green witch or a kitchen witch or whatever? Because, like, I'm not just a couple of these. I do literally all of them. As somebody who's been doing this for a while, I have developed skill in pretty much every category you mentioned. And so if I were to turn around and answer the question, what kind of witch I am, I would have to list all of them. And that's just not reasonable or sustainable.
Yeah. So a couple counterpoints to that. So one of them is that I'm coming at this as more of somebody who has already looked into what we kind of talked about as like the foundations of witchcraft. So they're already aware that like energy work is basically what makes witchcraft witchcraft. And they already kind of have that base level foundation, which is weird for me to say as the beginner of the podcast. I'm kind of coming at it from that angle. And then it's definitely, I feel like you're viewing it as this very closed thing where it's like, if somebody sees these, they feel like they have to pick one and they feel like they have to be confined to that one thing. And I again, that's where I would kind of say, well, okay, you're looking at this wrong.
But I mention that because that's where people are coming from when they look at it. When people who are new to the craft are looking at all these different types of witches, that's the perspective that they're picking up. And I know this because this is the question that I get. How do I know which one I am? How do I know which one to choose? You don't choose a category. You decide what interests you and learn those things. And if you pick three things that interest you and they fall into three different quote unquote categories, then that's okay. But it's not, I'm not just making up this perspective because I worry that that's what's going to happen. That's what I see happening every day.
Yeah.
When people promote the idea of different types of witches, even if it's just for fun and like a quiz or something. And like, maybe I'm too uptight about it, but as somebody who answers a lot of newbie questions, this is one of the most common questions I get, is people feeling like they have to choose or worried that they're choosing wrong, or which one is the beginner one and how do I know and what do I do?
Yeah, I get that. I absolutely do. I just don't think the solution is to disavow people grouping these things in general. You know what I mean? I don't think the solution is like, oh, well, let's not have any groupings. Like, because it can still be a way to find people in the practice that practice very similar to you do. If you are somebody that leans towards one way or the other way, or if you're looking for resources within a certain type of practice, not so much like the, like I said, the different types of pagans or things like that, but more as like a general spell casting method or something like that. Being able to have these types of groups, I feel, makes some of this research easier. So I think there's a better solution than just getting rid of all of the groupings completely or not acknowledging the groupings completely. Because, again, it's human nature to want to group things like this and feel like you have a title or a grouping or something like that.
guess so, fear coming at it from the perspective of like only doing research online, but like a lot of beginner witchcraft books are going to cover all of these different things without using those categories, especially like beginner foundation books like The Outer Temple of Witchcraft by Christopher Penzack, or some of the older books from like the 90s, even books by authors like Anne Mora, who she titles all of her books Green Witch, Green Witchcraft, stuff like that, because she does a lot of herbal work and nature work. But even her books include all of this stuff, include kitchen witchery, include crystals and candles and lunar phases and astrology signs and like folk magic. So even books that are using some of these labels as titles, these beginner books are covering all of these topics anyway. And they're covering all of these topics without leaning into those categories. I think these categorization labels are a very recent thing that has grown out of the popularity of witchcraft on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, like Instagram was a huge culprit for a lot of this stuff, and then we started to get all these like pop quizzes that are like, you know, which witch are you and stuff like that, and YouTube has a lot of videos that are on like on stuff like this. But like 15 years ago, these categories weren't a thing, and people were still finding community and they were still finding the information that they needed without having to worry about whether they were doing it right or not.
But even with that book where it's being titled like Green Witchery and stuff like that, it didn't lean specifically into that type of magic. Like, yes, it can pull in other aspects. And that's why I'm trying to so strongly stress, just because you're talking about a green witch doesn't mean they can't use other stuff. There's definitely like an imbalance of how much they're using one thing versus another thing. And that book didn't deal with more of those green witch type of things.
The thing is that every witch is going to have a different definition for some of these categories, right? So in Green Witchcraft, like the book titled Green Witchcraft, she covers hedge witchery and spirit work. There's a lot of candle stuff. There's a lot of crystal stuff in there because crystals and minerals are natural things. And typically her books titled Green Witchcraft, Green Witchcraft 2, Green Witch's Guide to something. I don't have it in front of me. I don't remember. But all of that content is all about working magic within the natural world, which is going to include crystal witches, which is going to include all of those cosmic universal energies and stuff like that. So yeah, it's very much not leaning into just plants.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think there are definitely ways to use this without feeling boxed in or like you have to be that type of witch. I think in ways it can be helpful, you know, trying to find community, trying to find certain types of like practices that you can do, even like something that you hadn't known you were interested in. Like just having some of these, I feel like, can benefit people in letting them know that there are different types of practices out there, or helping them narrow down research into a specific type. Like I said, I think getting rid of them completely isn't a solution to beginners feeling locked into a certain type of magic, because even if you take out the titles, that's still going to happen to beginners. I feel like they're still going to feel like they get interested in one thing, and then that's the thing that they get locked into.
I think that if somebody wants to use one of these terms to label themselves, and they understand that these categories are self-determined and not boxes that are restrictive, then just like we say when it comes to the LGBTQAI plus community, like if there's a label that you want to use for you, then absolutely at the end of the day, go about using that. But don't necessarily apply your labels and categorizations to the community at large, because not everybody might agree with that. You know, like the word queer, for example. If some people have problems with the word queer because it was used as a slur for a really long time. So if you as a queer person want to reclaim that word and call yourself that, then that's great, but don't go calling other people queer because you don't know how they're going to react to it. So I think it's not as extreme an example, because like none of these were ever used as slurs, but the same idea where if you want to use one of those terms for you to describe your practice, that's okay. You can do that. You have the right to do that. But just know that it's not what everybody does. So I don't want to tell people that if they are calling themselves a kitchen witch, that they're wrong. Because like I have friends who've been doing this for 20 years who consider themselves kitchen witches, and that's what they want to call themselves. And that's fine. I want to make sure that people know that these categories are a very recent addition to the idea of witchcraft. And 20 years ago, these quote unquote categories did not exist. And yeah. People were still learning what they wanted to learn and finding community and learning different things within their practice. And it wasn't an issue.
Yeah, and I'm sure if I fielded these questions as much as you did, I would be sick of it too. Like, to be completely clear, I absolutely understand where you're coming from. So I just want to be clear on that. I just, as somebody who looks at these and sees them more as like aesthetic choices and inspiration and things like that, because I'm not going to lie, I know we shit on like Instagram witches and stuff like that a lot, but sometimes I like looking at that stuff just for inspiration and trying to see things that I can do to enhance my own practice and things like that, because, you know, we talked about how aesthetic can absolutely help. That's what I use a lot of these for. I don't put a whole lot of stock into I am X type of witch. I definitely use them, like I said, more as like research terms and inspiration and a narrowing down of a very broad topic. I absolutely think if you're boxing yourself into some of these, you're doing it the wrong way.
But even then, we still run into the problem of different people are going to define these terms in different ways. You know, like a lot of what you see on the internet is the bullet, like, for example, Green Witch, the bullet points that you have, you know, they work with plants, they do a lot of herb stuff. But the books that I was mentioning earlier, and I'll list them all in the show notes because Anne Moore is a wonderful witchcraft author, but she includes, you know, celestial moon and sun phases. She includes crystals in her categorization of Green Witch, you know. And then there's also like Hedge Witch. You have this listed as a very simple, straightforward practice. Not a lot of pomp and circumstance, but I have always been under the assumption that a hedge witch is somebody who deals with the spirit world, because you're quote unquote walking the hedge. So you're walking the line, you're in that liminal space between the world of the living and the world of the dead. So you do a lot of work with helping souls cross over. You do a lot of work with like spirit guides and reaching out to the dead on the other side. That's what hedge witch always meant to me, which is completely different from the definition that you found when you were doing your research. And so like stuff like kitchen witch is very straightforward, but then there's other things like, you know, hedge witch or even folk witch. I think folk magic is probably one of the exceptions to the rule for me, in that folk magic is a type of magic because it's a category of practice the way Celtic paganism is a category of practice, or Norse heathenry, or, you know, fairy magic is a type of practice, where folk magic is very, it's magic of the folk, magic of the people. So it's those superstitions that get passed down throughout your family and that are going to be different region to region. Like a great example, everybody can sort of picture like Appalachian folk magic, right? Is this very distinct thing to that region that we don't practice up here. And even as close as like Pennsylvania to the rest of New England, Pennsylvania has their own sort of regional type of local folk practice that's different than up here in New England, where we have a different type, and then out west they have a different type, and like that's regional stuff and that's a little different. And I think that is maybe an exception to the rule, but even then, like, I wouldn't necessarily use the same definition of folk witch, because folk magic is gonna differ depending on where you are too. And so a lot of these have conflicting or overlapping definitions depending on where you are, what type of tradition you come from. If you're not just randomly eclectic, if you come from a tradition, these are going to have more distinct definitions. And where you're learning them from, like, who's telling you, every witch, you ask five witches, you're going to get six definitions for each of these, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's another problem that people come into, too, when they're doing this research online, is they'll find the first website that defines all of these and go, okay, that's what these mean. But no, there's a lot more nuance to it. There's a lot more research that needs to be done.
Yeah, and there's definitely a level of your own research and critical thinking that comes into a lot of this. And like I said, this was all very like surface level, so this is not the end-all be-all definition for these groups. Like, this is just stuff that I could find on a very surface level. So yeah, there is a certain level of critical thinking. I think part of me that is so attached to this is kind of the first time that any type of order came out of the chaos of witchcraft for me, where I was like, okay, so certain things can still go in certain groups and make sense. Like, okay, that I can process. And I think that's what draws a lot of beginners, especially, to these ideas of different witches, is because it takes this broad, chaotic spectrum of practice in which there are ways that you can do it wrong, and there are things that you can do that you are not welcome to, that at first you may not be aware that you're not welcome to. So having this kind of order to this broad spectrum helps to start to make sense of everything. And I think that's one of the reasons that especially beginners get so drawn to the ideas, or even practitioners who do label themselves this way, it's a comfort to them. Because it is some type of order.
I see where you're coming from with that. Absolutely. I would encourage people who are looking for some kind of order to look at the different traditions. Because the problem with a lot of these categories is you go, oh, okay, I like the idea of being a green witch. I'm going to lean into that. But once you go past the level of finding a label for it, there isn't really any order or logical process within these categories, because these categories are so arbitrary and they're so defined differently based on where you are and who you're talking to. Whereas if you're somebody who needs more order and structure in your practice, especially if you're just starting out, start with a tradition, because traditions are paths. They're groups of belief and rule and dogma that can or cannot have gods involved. So it doesn't have to be super heavy religious, but paths and traditions are going to give you that structure in a very real way versus, you know, taking a quiz and finding out you're a tech witch and then not knowing what to do with that from there.
See, that's the thing, though, is I feel like going so far as trying a tradition or a path is too much structure. I feel like these broad terms kind of just hit that sweet spot, and especially where you can be multiples or you can, you know, complement one with the other, it's that sweet spot. It's not feeling like, because I feel like, especially, it's even in the word tradition. It's even in the word, you feel like once you pick a tradition, you have to stick with it. It's very rigid. It's very, like, whereas these are more broad, they're more, I can't test out a tradition, but I can test out green witchery. You know what I mean? It feels easier to just dip your toe into than a tradition or a path, which feels very, like, it feels like a much bigger decision.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because have you ever studied with a tradition?
I have done some reading on different paths.
You ever studied with a tradition, with actual practitioners of a tradition?
No.
Okay. So you can absolutely dip your toe in and test out a different tradition. In fact, most traditions and most groups within paths will encourage you to do that to make sure that it's the right fit for you before you jump in headfirst. So you absolutely can test it out to see if it's what you want. And a lot of traditions, some of the more ceremonial ones, are more strict. They are more rigid. There are specific guidelines you have to follow. But there are plenty of paths and traditions and covens that are extremely flexible within their rules. What they do as a path or as a tradition or as a coven is provide you a set of guidelines to work within, which is exactly what you're describing when you describe these types of witchcraft. And I'm glad you brought this up, because I think a lot of people, when they're first getting into witchcraft, they shy away from traditions, from even learning about them, because they seem very overbearing, they seem very rigid and structured, and they seem very like the rest of the world in terms of organized religion. And they're not. Most of them are not. And I think that that's definitely an assumption that we need to completely banish from the world of witchcraft and paganism, is that traditions are not scary. They are, especially if you're getting into this looking for community, being an eclectic solitary witch is not going to give you that community. Even if you talk to other people on the internet and you're like, hey, you're a candle witch. I'm also a candle witch. That's so cool. Like, that's not going to give you community if you're looking for community in a way that joining a tradition will. You don't have to join a tradition and stick with one forever. You can do the year and a day study and say, you know what? I learned a whole lot. I learned a great foundation. I don't think this is right for me. I'm going to try something else. I know somebody who's ordained in three separate traditions because their beliefs and their influences and their ideas vary so broadly, and they're drawn to different structures and different types of practice that they joined three because life is short, but it's not short enough that you have to stick with the first thing you find.
Yeah. And I think part of it too is traditions and paths, especially again online, tend to be gatekept more than these categories. It's a lot more acceptable to talk about being a green witch online than it is to say that you're trying out a tradition or trying out a path, because traditions and paths, you get people that again will be like, oh, you're doing it wrong. You're not X ancestry, so you can't do Y path. How often do we see even, you know, Norse heathenry, where on TikTok we see people talking about being Norse practitioners, and you have so many people in the comments saying, oh, well, you can't practice that because XYZ. You can't practice that because your ancestry isn't from that area. You can't practice that because you're not the right skin tone. You definitely see a lot more gatekeeping when it comes to paths and traditions than easily just flippantly being able to say, oh yeah, I'm a green witch.
So there is a difference between gatekeeping and maintaining the integrity of a path or a tradition, because gatekeeping is you can't do this because XYZ, and there's no substance to back it up, or telling somebody that what they're doing is wrong when what they're doing isn't actually wrong, versus a tradition that, you know, maybe has certain ways of doing things, at least for their newbies, until they can, you know, understand why they're doing these things a certain way and develop that foundation that we talk about all the time, to then be able to change it up and make your own creative choices, which you can do once you're established within a tradition.
Yeah.
There's definitely a difference between maintaining the integrity of a tradition and just flat out gatekeeping. And I don't see gatekeeping so much with the discussion of tradition. I see it with people who don't know what they're talking about and just using it as a cover for racism or white supremacy or classism or stuff like that.
Yeah, I see a lot of both, again, especially on places like TikTok.
Well, that's because TikTok is a cesspool.
Yeah, but
and I understand that a lot of our listeners are here because they found me on TikTok. But the reason I make videos in the first place is because TikTok is a cesspool.
Well, but if you think about it, that's where a lot of the beginners are getting their information. As sad as it is to say. So, like, there's a reason why these groupings and these labels are a lot more attractive than traditions or paths. And I can see where people are falling into that.
But also, on the opposite side of that same coin is that a lot of these types that we're talking about, a lot of these labels are used in a toxic way on places like TikTok and Instagram and, you know, wherever else the kids hang out nowadays. They're used in a way that is not the way you're describing it.
Yeah.
Like, the majority of what I see on social media, these things are not being used as an educational tool or a way to get people in. They're used as either just flippant entertainment, or they're used as a way to keep people within boxes. And I just want to make sure that new people to the craft and new practitioners know that that's not the way it really is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said, even as somebody who can see, again, where the attractiveness of this is and ways that they can use it to benefit themselves, I absolutely do not think that people should see them as boxes to put themselves in and not branch out in any way. Like, I definitely don't think that that's something people should do. So I do see that, and I do believe that. But what do you guys think? Do you subscribe to any of these labels?
And if you do use some of these labels, how did you come about doing it? You know, are you 6 months into your practice and you call yourself a green witch because you took a quiz and it told you you're a green witch? Or have you been practicing for a while, or at least studying for a while, and have taken on one of these labels for yourself in an informed way to give yourself a concise label? Because to me, that's the best way to use these.
Yeah.
Is to give yourself a concise label your personal practice after you've already done the research and the work, instead of jumping headfirst saying, I'm going to be this kind of witch because BuzzFeed told me to.
No, absolutely. So let us know.
We are 2xTorchlight on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok, on Twitter. We are 2xTorchlight.com on our website. You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/2xTorchlight. Thank you to our donors. We love you so much. You can also email us directly, 2xTorchlight@gmail.com. Or like Liz said, you can leave a review on some of the platforms that you're listening to us on right now. Or you can send us an email or a message through our website and leave us a review that way too. We would love to read that. And if we get your okay, we can post it on our website so that other people can read your wonderful words too.
Absolutely. And like I said, Discord is another great way to interact with us, talk about episodes. And that's the first place we're going to go if we want to hear what you guys want to hear. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, this episode topic wasn't one that we had put on our list. This is one that a listener wanted to hear. So thank you so much, guys.
You can find a link to our Discord in the show notes, also on our website, also on most of our social medias. Discord's hard to just, like, you can't just jump on Discord and search 2xTorchlight, because that's not how you find servers. But you can find the link pretty much anywhere. We make it really easy to find. It's hard to miss us.
Yeah.
So if there's something that you want to hear, if you want to get our take on something, or you want us to do the legwork for you and research some things, we can do all that. So just find us somehow and give us your recommendations, and we'll see if we makes it into a future episode.
And until then, thank you so much for listening, and we can't wait for you to hear from us in 2 weeks.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening and for supporting the creation of this podcast. You can find the show notes for this episode at www.2xTorchlight.com, along with episode archives, contact info, our press kit, and more. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks for another episode.